Das kann so sehr nicht mehr gesagt, aber wenn Yehuda mit sich die Yuma darf pedalen. The Mishnah said, Misha Nashoi Kelev Shaita Vechula. Bryce said five things were said about a mad dog. Its mouth stays open, its saliva drips out, its ears droop, its tail lays on its legs, and it walks on the side of the road. Others say it also barks and no sound is heard. Where does this come from? So Rav said it comes from women practicing kishuf on it. Shmuel said it comes from an evil spirit resting on it. The practical difference between the reasons is that if it's because of an evil spirit, then one should not get close to it and should kill it from far away with an arrow or a knife. Bryce seems to say like Shmuel. The Bryce said one should kill a mad dog from far away. One who is pushed by the dog is in danger, and one who is bitten by it will die. If one is pushed by it, he should remove his clothing, throw it in front of the dog, and run away. Abaye said if one is bitten by it, he should take the skin of a certain animal and write a particular incantation on it. Elachash, he should then remove his clothing and bury them in a cemetery for a year, after which time he should burn them and spread the ashes at a crossroads in the path. During that year, when he drinks water, he should only drink with a straw. The Mishnah said, V'oyomar Masya. Mara said, Rabbi Yochanan once got this life-threatening throat ailment. He went to a non-Jewish woman who knew how to make a medicine for a cure. He explained to her he wouldn't be able to come back on Shabbos and asked for the formula so that he can make the medicine himself if he still needed it. She didn't want to disclose her secret formulation. Rabbi Yochanan persuaded her to do so. He then went and disclosed it to all so that they shouldn't have to pay the high price that this woman was charging for the service. What was the formulation? So Rabbi Yochanan, the son of Rami, said it was yeast water, olive oil, and salt. Rabbi Yochanan said it was yeast, olive oil, and salt. Rabbi Asi said she smeared the fats of the marrow of a wing bone of a bird onto his forehead. Abaye said the only thing he found to work was taking pits from olives that had not grown a third, burning them on a new shovel, and putting the ashes on his teeth. What does this sickness come from? If the Gemara, from eating very hot wheat bread or fish fried in its own oil with flour that was left overnight. The symptoms are that when one eats, he bleeds from the entire row of teeth. Rabbi Yochanan made his medication for this on Shabbos. This was permitted because it becomes a life-threatening disease. In fact, the Gemara of Chia Bar Abba asked Rabbi Yochanan, by permitting this, you obviously must hold like a Masim and Choresh, and not like the Rabbanan, because they seem to argue with him in our mission and don't permit medicine to be made on Shabbos for this sickness. He answered, no, the Rabbanan only argue regarding his first point, meaning the eating of the liver of the mad dog. They agree regarding this the halacha of making the medicine for this sickness on Shabbos, that they also would allow it. We can bring a proof from a braisa that the Rabbanan agree with Ermasi regarding his second point, because the braisa says that Ermasi allows eating non-kosher to cure one with jaundice or one bitten by a mad dog. He then says that he allows the medicine for the throat ailment to be made on Shabbos. Hacham say, these don't provide a cure and are therefore not allowed. Presumably they're arguing on the first two points and are agreeing with the third. Mara says, no, maybe they're arguing on all three and they're not agreeing on a different fourth point from another braisa where Ermasi allows letting blood on Shabbos to cure a particular disease. It could be that's where they agree. Therefore, it's unclear as to what point they argue on. Abraye says, or Amasi says, a pregnant woman who has a craving on Yom Kippur must be given to eat. A person bitten by a mad dog may eat its liver, and medicine for the throat ailment may be made on Shabbos. Acham say they agree with this, meaning one of them. This must refer to the making of the medicine, because it's obvious that all agree to the case of the pregnant woman. Therefore, this Bryce Sataka is a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabashi said our mission is a proof as well. If the Rabbanan argue on both points, then the point should have been combined, and the Rabbanan should have argued afterwards. Since they weren't, it's a haraya that the Rabbanan agree to this, that they allow the medication to be made on Shabbos for this throat ailment. The Mishnah said, if nature suffix nefashis huvechulu, why does the Mishnah need to say, and a risk of life overrides Shabbos, suffix nefashis is doicha Shabbos? It's obvious from the previous part of the Mishnah already. So Rabbi Yehuda Neymar Rav explains, the Mishnah is teaching that a Shabbos is overridden even to prevent a risk of life on a different Shabbos. A Braisa clearly said this as well, and says that when Shabbos must be overridden for this purpose, it should be done even by an adult. It should not be done by an adult. We don't need to look for a goy. We don't need to look for a katan or an isha to do it. A Braisa says we get involved in matters of suffix nefashis on Shabbos, even if Shabbos will have to be overridden. And the one who rushes to do these things is praiseworthy, and he doesn't have to ask permission from Bezin to do what has to be done. For example, if he sees a child fall into a river, he may save him with a net, even though he'll catch fish in the process as well. Or if he sees a child fall into a pit, even though the child is not in immediate danger, as immediate as the last case, still he may break away at the area around the pit to allow access, even though in that way he's building steps. Or if a child gets locked into a room, over here the danger is even less in that case, he may break open the door, even if he does so carefully so that the wood can be used for another purpose. Also, one may extinguish or block a fire, even one that is not yet in his chotzer, even if the coals become useful for cooking in the process. Zok the Gemara of Yosef in the name of Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, said, we do not follow the majority when it comes to saving a life. Meaning, even if most people there are goyim, if it's possible that a yid is at risk, we do whatever we have to do to save him. Fact the Gemara, in the case, If the case is where there are nine going in 1 year, it's obvious that we would do what has to be done because of the concept of kol kavua kamech sametz adami, and it's therefore considered as if there are half going and half yidden. So what's the case? The case is where the people move to another chotzer. Normally we say kol the parish meruva parish, and we just say they're all whoever is a goy. He teaches that we don't follow the majority, and instead we override Shabbos and do what has to be done to save him because of its possibility that it's a yid. In fact, more we find that Shmuel explained the mission to mean that we only remove rubble on Shabbos to save someone whose identity is unknown. If the majority of people, he said that we would only do that if the majority of people are Yidden. Mar says Shmuel was actually explaining an earlier part of the Mishnah. Based on this understanding, Shmuel says that we remove the rubble even when most people are going.